All right, we are here. It's the Minor Talk preseason podcast with UTEP head coach Joe Golding. I'm Adrian. Steve Kaplowitz with me as well. Last year, we've been doing this for the last 4 years, coach. So I can't believe you haven't gotten tired of us doing this.
I actually enjoy both of you, man. Contrary to belief out there, man, huh?
10 newcomers, whole new staff. A lot of newness on this team. I kind of saw that yesterday at practice. Mm-hmm. A lot of new energy and everything that has kind of culminated from the offseason all the way to now. You guys have pretty much had your head down, really focused on the season itself. How do you kind of describe this team, and what's the theme of this group right here?
Yeah, we're obviously still getting to know each other. You know, we've been together for about 5 months now. And to your point, you know, we've got a new staff. We've got new players. We've got a new energy around. I think this group's done a really good job. I think the one thing that sticks out to me is how hard they play. There's a lot of competition. When you look up and down, we don't return a starter. And the guys we brought back obviously want bigger roles than what they had last year. So with competition, you know, it just breeds it each and every day, right? There's nothing given right now. You know, there's nobody coming back that's earned anything. And so that's been refreshing for me. I think it's been refreshing for our staff. But it's been a really good group. It's been a fun group. They've hit the ground running. To your point, we've kind of been in the shadows. We've not a whole lot of talk about us, and I like it that way. You know, I like it with a chip on our shoulder and something to prove. And I think we're all better, you know, when we like that. So we obviously didn't end the year the way we wanted to. We had to reevaluate that after the year. You got to look yourself in the mirror. I had to look myself in the mirror. But this is a completely different team, right? You can't judge this team on last year's team, right? It's 10 new guys, and it's a brand new team. But there's obviously lessons that you try to learn and you try to get better from, and hopefully we've learned some of those lessons, and moving forward we'll do a better job.
You talked about this over the summer with us multiple times, but 3-year extension at UTEP, and you really wanted to be here, and what you did over the offseason is reflective of that. You really wanted to carry UTEP from the final year in Conference USA into the Mountain West in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, my family this has become home. That we've graduated one son. We got him through 3 years or 4 years here, we've got a little one that's a sophomore now, and it's important for me to see him through. And then obviously this program, right? When you look at the overall deal of things, I think we had this conversation in the spring, right? We've won 20 games, 18-18. And we played in the conference championship game 2 years ago for the first time in over a decade. We were right there with a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. We've done some good things. Are there things that we have to get better at? Absolutely, right? We got to get better in conference play. We got to compete for conference championships. We got to continue to fight to get back to the conference game. But that was 2 years ago. We were right there. You know, we were 15-5 last year. We had the thing going in the right direction, and we didn't finish the right way, you know, and that happens. And we got to, again, look ourselves in the mirror, and we got to get better from it, right? And we got to learn from it. But, this program, I love the history. It's like Antonio Davis coming by. I just love the history. I love tradition. I love our fan base. Think about our fans, man. I mean, we sold this thing out last year. We put 8,000 or 9,000 in there almost every night. There's not many places across the country that still do that. You know, like, this place cares about basketball. This place has history. It has tradition. There's not a whole lot of other jobs that it's like that. And so, I take ownership in where we're at, and I take ownership in wanting to move it forward. And I was real excited. I never looked at other places, right? I wanted to be here. I want to finish what we've started. I want to get this program. I want to get to the NCAA tournament. I want to be at the airport, right, when the plane lands and everybody is so excited. And I know people are starving for it, and I want to get us there, and I want to be the one that does it.
Joe, you built your reputation at Abilene by taking a team, and year after year they got better and better and better until you really built it into a power.
Yeah.
College basketball is different now. Yeah. You have to basically anticipate every year is going to be a whole new roster, a whole new everything. Yeah. How do you adjust your coaching style to that, knowing that you essentially have about 6 to 8 months to try to turn this into a tournament team?
I think it's a great point, Steve, right? And I don't have a lot of experience in that, right? Because we did it a completely different way. But you got to get experience in it. And we're learning on the fly the last couple of years. I think hiring Jeremy Cox back was big for us, and Jeremy Cox being a JUCO guy is used to building rosters. Hunter Jenkins is a JUCO guy. He's used to building rosters each and every day. And you look at Spriggs, who's a JUCO guy, you know, and I think those guys are comfortable in that, right? And so I was more comfortable in having guys around for 4 years, right, in building programs. And so it's been an adjustment. I also think our language has changed. No longer do we say, hey, man, this is a 2-year deal. No, it's a 10-month deal. You know, we're trying to get you in a better position in 10 months as a player, and we're trying to get our program in a better position in 10 months. And we're both both in this thing together, right? If we can put you in a better spot in 10 months and you're putting our program in a better spot in 10 months, then we're both winning on this deal. And so we've kind of taken in 10-month contracts now, right? You get here in June and it goes to March. And it, we're going to develop you as a player, but you got to help our program as well. And you got to jump both feet in and you got to love UTEP. And so that's kind of how our language has changed over the last 6 months. But within that, you have to build a team, right? And so we spent a lot of time with our guys saying from June to October, we're building you as a player, individual development, learning about our culture, learning about what's important to UTEP basketball. And then from October to March, it's building the team, right? And it's getting 14 guys to play together and play for UTEP. That's the tough part, right, in our business right now, because there's so many people involved, from agents to AAU coaches to mom and dad to, and obviously the money has changed the game now, right? And so you have so many people in our players' heads, and so you just try to get 14 guys that can block out the outside noise and can play for each other for those 4 or 5 months and play for UTEP. It sounds easy to say, but it's very, very difficult to do. The other tough part, Steve, of building new teams is going through adversity, right? Like, it's when things are going well, it's easy, right? But like when you hit adversity, which we all know adversity is coming, how do you handle it? Well, the team's never been together, right? They've never gone through those situations. And so how you handle those situations, how do you handle a one-game losing streak going to a 3 or 4 instead of a one-game or a two-game, and then you snap it and you get back and you win 3 or 4, right? And so, you know, putting them through adverse situations, early, all those things come into play, and all those things are things that we're trying to work on, because you're correct. The game has changed.
The season last year was really long. It started this time last year in October. You guys were in Mexico playing that game, and it ended in March. I mean, it's a really long season. Is it refreshing?
I don't think I did a good job with that. You know, when I look back and I look myself in the mirror, we went to the Bahamas. We forget about that. We had a mirror all summer. We went to the Bahamas. Then we went to Mexico. Then we went to Juarez. And then we went out to Vegas. I just think we were doing a ton, right? I'm not using it as an excuse, Adrian, at all, right? But it was a long year, you know? And, you know, I think it was too much, you know, when I look back. We also had the 1033 campaign, which I look back, I have regrets on that. I think I put too much pressure on those guys, right, with putting that shirt out there and doing that. So, again, look at myself in the mirror, right, and things that we could have done possibly different. You know, I don't know if we'd have done it a different way, if it had been the same. Who knows, man? But I do think it was a long year. I think this year has been good. We've been here all June, right? We've been in El Paso. We took a team retreat 2 weeks ago. We always do this. We get up to the mountains. We get away. We put our phones up and we bond as a group. It was really good this year because you got new guys, right? And so, you know, last year's retreat wasn't as well because that group kind of knows each other. They'd been on retreats before. So to your point, breath of fresh air, right? It was new for all them. They got out there. They hadn't seen all that. And so had a lot of fun, but just trying to do things. But for the most part, we've had camp here, right? We've been here. We've been locked in to each other. And so, you know, I think that's a valid point, you know, on your end. And February and March made it really long, you know, when we struggled and we couldn't, we lost consecutive games and we couldn't get it turned. It got longer, you know, long days. And so, you know, obviously to your point earlier too, when we started, it's just refreshing right now, you know. And again, I want to say this publicly, it had nothing to do. I'm a biggest fan of DT. I'm a big fan of Otis, Kevin Kalu, those guys, Corey Camper, you know, I mean, I love those kids. They were here for 2 years. We got real relationships. Nothing ended badly, man. It was just time for a fresh start. Same thing with our staff. Our staff have been together a long time. You know, Earl Boykins is a great coach. I'm so happy we got him on at USC. Kevin's a great coach. He'll do a hell of a job at Langston. Mike Roberts got on at New Mexico. He'll do a hell of a job there. It was just time for change, right? And a breath of fresh air. And so that everything that happened in February, March had nothing to do with those players. That's on me, right? But ultimately, you know, I had to make some changes to get this thing kind of to your point, a breath of fresh air.
We're here with Joe Golding. It's the Minor Talk UTEP men's basketball season preview. All right, so we're talking about the reset, the change, fresh air, as you mentioned, basically a whole new roster. Yeah. As you look at this team right now, are you happy with how you built it and ultimately trying to build it maybe a different way and addressing certain deficiencies from last year or previous season that you feel like you have in place right now?
Yeah, I think you always wish you had one more, right? Like once you go through the year, we'll see where that pops its ugly head up as we go through the season. I really like our 14 guys that we have right now. We wanted to get back to a toughness, a griminess, a physicality on the defensive end, right? We felt like we lost that last year. That's always been an identity of my teams. It defense travels, rebound travels. It allows you to stay in games. Obviously, we got to get better offensively. I understand that. I know that it's something that I have to, you know, when I look myself in the mirror, that's something we have to do. I thought that last year we recruited an offensive team, especially had guys back, but we didn't have a toughness and a grit to us on the defensive end. That we've been known about. So in recruiting, we wanted to get bigger guards. We wanted to get longer. We wanted to get a lot of more guys from the 2-3-4, as you would say. We're positionless, but in that spot, in that area, we wanted to get bigger and longer, and I think we've done that. Point guard play, I think, we wanted to get more true first, pass first point guards, the ball movers. I think we've done that. KJ's gotten better with that. I think Caleb and Tyrese are pass first guys. It's just who they are. They can both score the basketball as well, but they're unselfish guys. They would rather pass than score. I think Kasim fits that mold as well. He's unselfish, maybe to a fault at times. So I think when you look at our teams where we've been successful, we've had four to six guys that have all kind of scored in double figures right there. Our scoring has gone around. We've wanted to play a little faster, Steve. We've really made a push on that last year to play faster. You know what? We would like to do that this year. I think we're going to play small ball. I think you can see how we recruited that we're going to play small. You're going to look out there at times when we have a 6'5 or 6'6, as a tallest guy on the floor, but that's okay. That's kind of how we built this roster. When you build a roster that way, though, you have to play a little faster. We're going to have to get out. We're going to have to play in space offensively. The other flip side of that defensively would be the old thing that keeps coming up, but rebounding, right? Can we rebound the basketball? We're going to need Elijah Boog being Jamal West to rebound the basketball. DT, Kasim, and our guards are going to have to do a good job of rebounding down. But I do like the way the pieces fit. I do like the, you never know, right, in recruiting until you get it together. But I do like how our pieces have fit so far. Obviously, we're going to have to get out and compete and get in games and figure it out too along the way. To your point earlier, I think this is an interesting point too, Steve, that some people don't think about, like where we're at when you recruit new rosters. Back in the day, you'd say, hey, this is the way we're going to play. We're going to go recruit these guys this way. But now with the money in NIL, it's like, okay, we got to go get the best players we can get for our NIL money, and then we got to play this way. Does that make sense? Like, so I think you have to change maybe the way you play year in and year out depending upon the roster that you get. And so obviously this is the roster we have this year, and we got to find the best way to play that fits this roster.
When you talk about your returners, KJ Thomas on one side, Jordan Hernandez, Elijah Jones, Trey Horton, tell us a little bit about their jump this offseason, what each guy brings when they come back.
Let's start with Jordan, man. I mean, I love having an Al Pascal guy on my roster. If I could have it every year, I would love. We've had Antoine Holmes on our roster, obviously. Jordan Antoine went to play at Sol Ross. We're excited. Hopefully he gets the opportunity to play a lot and a good opportunity there for him. But, you know, Jordan played for Coach Brooks here at America's High School, who I have a ton of respect for. Does a hell of a job with his high school program. Went and played for a great coach at Cochise for Jerry. And then, you know, comes back here. Jordan loves putting the UTEP jersey on. It means something to Jordan, right? Jordan loves this city. And I always talk about protect the tradition, right? He understands the tradition, history. He grew up coming to games. And Jordan's a tough kid. He's a tough kid. He shows up every day. And I respect that about him. You know, obviously he has his deficiencies. This is a high level for him. But he makes up for it with how hard he plays and his toughness and his care for UTEP. There's nobody in our locker room that cares about UTEP more than Jordan. KJ's made a big jump. You know, KJ's made the freshman to sophomore jump. He's put on a 12 pounds. So he's gone from 162 to about 174. And so I think that's going to help him with the grind of the season. He's become a better point guard, learning how to play the position, seeing the floor, understanding what we're trying to do with things. And then Coach Cox has done a great job here with him in the 5 months of getting him tougher on the defensive end. We need him to be the best on-ball defender we have. He's got to be pesky, you know, on the ball and really cause some havoc. And he's gotten tougher in the last 5 months. He's made a big jump in the last 5 months from June to right now, late October. Still working with him on leadership. Obviously, he's got to work hard on his shot. He's shooting the basketball better. He's scored the ball a little bit at the rim, but just getting better with his assist to turnover. Our first scrimmage, he had 7 assists, 3 turnovers. You know, so that's heading in the right direction with him. Elijah's made a big jump. Elijah's always had the talent. The talent has never been the issue. It's always been discipline with Elijah and accountability with Elijah, both on and off the floor. And he's maturing, you know. He's been with us now. He knows that we care about him. You know, we've been through some adversities. We've been through some struggles, and we didn't run him off, and he's stuck with us. So it works both ways. There's a real relationship there with Elijah. He's put on weight. He's got to close to 220. He got sick a couple weeks ago, lost 7 pounds. He got back down to 213. We got to get him back up to 220, but he gives us somebody we can play small ball five with. He can pick and pop. He, in simple terms too, he can dribble and pass at a high level, so we can get him out. We can draw bigs from the rim and bring him out when he's out on the floor and get really creative with offensively. He's got to be able to rebound the basketball for us. He's got to become a better rebounder for us. In the scrimmage, he only had one rebound, right? He's got to be a 4 or 5 rebound guy for us, but I definitely think you'll see Elijah's minutes jump significantly, right, this year. This is a great opportunity for him to get some real minutes, and we're going to need Elijah to get there. And then Trey, you know, backstory, I can't get too much because of HIPAA stuff, but Trey was battling a lot of stuff, health stuff last year, and then obviously didn't shoot the ball well, right? And it got in his head. And I think, you know, just mentally had a mental block. You know, it's kind of like golfers out there. It happens, right? And Trey has got healthy. We got it fixed what he needed to get fixed this summer. He was out for about 4 weeks getting that fixed right at the end of the school year, first of the summer. He's come back and he's back to the old Trey. You know, people forget Trey was a big part of our run in the conference tournament 2 years ago to make the championship game. He got meaningful minutes. He knows what that looks like. He's getting better on the defensive end. We got to continue to getting better on the defensive end, but he's shooting the basketball really well. And then playing with Caleb and playing with Tyrese and now KJ, who's learning to see the floor, he's getting opportunities that he's never had before, right? These guys are finding him in places. And when you shoot the basketball like he does, you have to have a point guard that finds you, right, in those spots. And these guys are doing that, and they're breeding confidence in him. And he's got to stay in shape. That would be the other thing. You know, Trey has a tendency to get overweight. So we're really working hard to get in shape. Right now he's at 205. Last year he played at 215, you know, 210 to 215. So, you know, in a perfect world, we get him down to 200 during the season. So Trey's worked on that. He's made a commitment to that. He's worked on his diet. And so I think all four of those guys are heading in the right direction, to your point.
A year ago when we were doing this, you told us your biggest concern was rebounding.
Yeah.
And that was the case the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so true.
Yeah.
Do you feel like right now you've got a roster to where you'll be able to compete, out-rebound teams, and not let the glass be something that affects the Miners this year?
Yeah, I do think we have recruited to that, Steve. But I do think, we don't have that 6'10", 240-pound guy that's going to go get 8, 9, or 10 rebounds a game, right, sitting on our roster. So I do think we have bigger guards, right, than we had last year. We just had smaller guards last year. And so when we fly around and get in rotations, when you have smaller guards, they get stuck on 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", and we were getting beat on those matchups last year. And that's what, you know, was a big problem. We have gotten bigger guys. Look at Tyrese, 6'5", Kasim, 6'6". 7, DT 6'6". Help me out with our new roster.
Yeah,
Trey Horton, 6'5".
Jamal plays
Jamal
bigger.
Jamal West plays bigger, but 6'6". Elijah, 6'8". You know, you get my point. We have a lot of length in there. You know, really, we have KJ Jordan and Caleb are just small guards. Everybody else. But we don't have that one guy that I know when I get off the bus is going to go get 10, right? We're going to have to gang rebound, right? Our guards are going to have to rebound down. But to your point, I think Jamal is, he's got a motor. I think he can win some of those battles. Elijah's got to do that for us this year, right? That's something that we've been working really hard with him. He's got to buy into that role of going. He's a pretty good offensive rebounder, but can he be a better defensive rebounder? So I do think, Steve, we've recruited a more physical, tough team that will battle. We're working on it way more than we have in the past, and we're going bone on bone, which is scary, you know, going bone on bone as much as we're going right now. We felt like it has, you know, it's a non-negotiable for us, especially coming off last year. When our teams are good, we guard, we rebound, we turn teams over, and we take care of the basketball, right? And so, again, in recruiting, can we become a better rebounding team? Can we still turn people over and fly around with a smaller lineup? And then can we find guards with high IQs that value the basketball? You look at our scrimmage the other day, if we could take that box score all year long, we would love life, right? We had 22 assists, 10 turnovers, right? Turn them over 24 times. times. But those are the stats that we look at, right? We were even on the glass with Corpus Christi, and we held them to 34% from the floor. So they missed a ton of shots, you know, and we were still even on the glass. We shot 52% from the floor. There wasn't a ton of opportunities for us to get. So again, you know, that's one scrimmage. That's just Corpus Christi, but that's what the box score we want to look like moving forward.
With a guy like Tyrese Watson, he comes from Louisiana Monroe. He averaged 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists a game last year. He's going to be a household name for UTEP fans.
We've been on Tyrese all summer, right? Like, because it's what we're asking Tyrese to do is completely different than what he's had to do before and how he's had to play. He's also going to play off the ball a little bit this year, which at Monroe, the ball was always in his hands, right? So there's going to be times this year where we have 2 point guards on the floor with Tyrese and Caleb. There will be times, I would assume, we'll have 3 point guards. You'll see a lineup with KJ, Tyrese, and Caleb on the floor at the same time. So where I've been on him is defensively. We think he can be the defensive player of the year. He's got 6'5". He's got that Bienemy size. You know, offensively, he can. You know, he makes a. I'm not saying he is Bienemy. I don't want to put that on him. But he has that size. He sees the floor. He can make every pass on the floor. He can finish at the rim. He had over 120 free throw attempts. He shoots above 70% from the free throw line. He has a Philly toughness to him, a physicality to him. He's a really, really good player, you know. And he is really, really, in the last, I would say, couple months, really embraced UTEP, right? Month and a half, really embraced UTEP, what we're trying to do. He's been a little banged up. He didn't play in our last scrimmage. He's getting healthy now. He'll play in our next scrimmage, but we need Tyrese to have a good year. You know, he's a fifth-year guy. He's older. We think we got a really good player in him, right? That's really versatile, and we're extremely excited about what he brings to the table on both sides of the floor for us.
Of the 10 newcomers that are here this season, how many of them have a legitimate shot to be part of this regular rotation starting the season going into conference play?
So we brought in, 10 new guys? You have 4. You know, Steve, we would like to play 10. 10 guys, right? I would think early you might even see us get that to 11, right? 11 and maybe possibly 12, right? Even the 12 being maybe limited, but until we figure this thing out, right? I do think the way we play and the way, you know, we've always played hectic defensively, you know, toughness to us, but we're trying to play faster offensively too. So when you play faster offensively and the way we do defensively, you have to have depth, right? And so we feel right now coming out of the first scrimmage that we can play 10, you know? It will be interesting. I don't know what 10 those are, you know? And I think you and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday. I don't know what 10 those are, and it might change game to game. We might be just throwing guys in there right now until we find the right mix of guys that night, right? That play well together. But I think you're going to see a lot of those new guys in the mix. I mean, Cassius is a guy we might talk about here in a minute, but like, Cassius is a guy that averaged 18 a game at a really, really good Division II school. The Peters kid, I think, from Liberty, they played together 2 years ago, right? And then Peters left and went to Liberty. He stayed. They didn't have as good a year this year as they've had in the past. But he's a really, really good player, and we got him late. But he's made a big jump from the time he's got here in late August to where he is now. He's a physical on-ball defender. He averaged, again, 18 a game. He got to the rim. He's a good passer. So he's starting to catch up, if that makes sense. And some of the guys that were here, how fast can he close that gap? But he's another older guy, right? Been around, won a ton of games. We obviously know what Peters did this year in that jump. And I think there's plenty of Division II players, NII players, that they get the opportunity to come here. They have the chip on their shoulders, right? They're not coming for as necessarily as much money. They just want the opportunity to play, and he brings a toughness. So how quickly can he get in there, you know? But we will definitely play, you know, you could see us starting all new guys. You could see us starting 3 or 4 new guys with one returner. You could see us starting a couple. I think we're going to play with that. You know, we started and I tell our guys, starting doesn't mean squat, you know. We had I think three new guys and 2 returners against Corpus. We'll switch that this scrimmage. We'll start a different lineup to see. And obviously Tyrese is playing this scrimmage, but those guys will definitely be in the mix.
Is alluding to like maybe fringe guys? Is Bobby Montgomery Jr. a fringe guy, or
Bobby?
He's got to play?
No, he's gonna play. Yeah, I mean, but I think he's in that fringe. Like, who out of that group makes the jump, right? Like in November and December, right? Like through non-conference play, how quickly, like Bobby's been really good in practice. Bobby's another guy we haven't talked about that's at 6'5". He weighed 202 yesterday. He's got a physicality and a toughness to him. I love him. He can really rebound the basketball on both ends of the floor. He's really buying in defensively. He can switch. He can guard multiple positions. Offensively, he's figuring it out. The game of basketball speeds up. Like, you know, he was great this summer. Then all of a sudden, now you're starting to put in sets. So now you got to think about what sets we're running offensively. Defenses are changing. You got scouting reports. How quickly can he pick that stuff up? He's got a. We're trying to get him to play really physical and tough for us. He had 4 fouls in, I think, 30 seconds the other night in this scrimmage, but that's okay right now. We want him to play hard and physical and tough. We can always back that up, but he's going to get an opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. He's going to get an opportunity early. It's that way with all freshmen. How quickly do they pick it up, right? And then what's the opportunity that presents himself? But you're going to see him play the wing position for us this year. You're going to see him play some small ball four for us, you know, because of his physicality and his toughness and his motor and how well he rebounds it. So, I knew we got a good one in Bobby when we got him. I think the best thing about him is coachable. He's in here every day. He's watching tape. He has a great energy about him, and he wants to be a great player.
Of the newcomers, who can you look at right now and tell us they're going to be fan favorites? When people come to watch this team play, fans are just going to immediately gravitate to these individuals.
I'll say this, Steve, first. I think these fans are going to appreciate this team right off the bat because of how hard they play, right? And I think when you go back to the when you talk to fans, the Coach Haskins teams, the Billy teams, the Doc teams, the Barbie teams, they love those teams. Not only did they have good players and it was an exciting brand of basketball, but how hard those teams played. It obviously started back with Coach Haskins and how much he put an emphasis on the defensive side of the ball and the toughness and the physicality. I think UTEP fans are going to embrace this team right off the bat when they see how hard this team plays. I think UTEP appreciates that, right? And I think that's what they're going to like right off the bat with this team. I think it's very visible when you watch us practice. It's been a constant, and they haven't wavered from that. This team also, over 5 months, has a closeness about it, right? They're new. They're a breath of fresh air. They're playing for each other right now. They're not playing for anything else. They are playing for UTEP. There's no side agendas right now, you know, with this group. And I think our fans will see that and appreciate that. When a guy goes on the floor, there's 4 guys sprinting right now to get him off the floor. You know, there is a care for each other and a care for UTEP. I think all new guys bring something different, you know, and our fans are going to like, they'll probably pick and choose some guy, you know, who they like, you know, but you go, you know, Blackwell, I think they're going to like the way he sees the floor, the way he gets guys involved. He has a great energy about him. We're obviously trying to get him to, again, sound like a broken record, but better defensively. All he did in JUCO was play zone, you know, and now he's having to guard man, and he's growing in that. He's got to get better, but he's growing. But I think our fans, he's an exciting player. He plays with a ton of emotion. Tyrese plays with a ton of emotion, a physicality, a toughness that I think our UTEP fans will love. Kasim is kind of that smooth criminal, man. He's never too high, too low. He's very versatile, can play, again, multiple positions on the floor, has a great energy about him, exciting player, gets above the rim. DT is a toughness, physical player, and very skilled. Obviously, at Seton Hall, he was just a 3-and-D guy from the corner. We're trying to get him to become a better cutter and get to the rim. But he's more like Kasim. He's kind of laid back. LA is instant offense, man. I don't know who you guys have had around here. They're just guys you throw in there. It's kind of like going to the casino, right? And you go to the craps table and you got $100 and you put them on every line and Adrian rolls for 30 minutes. It's a hell of a roll. You and I are leaving and we won money, right? But then there's times we give Adrian $100 and you and I put it out there and Adrian craps out on the first damn roll, right? So that's LA right now, right? A little bit, right? He's learning defensively. He didn't play at Kent State at all. Right, so basically it was just like a redshirt year, and then he played for Coach Jenkins last year, so it's just a transition, right? And how quickly can he pick it up? But offensively, like we put him in the other day, he got 2 offensive rebounds quick, boom boom, and then came down 2 possessions later and hit a 3, like, you know, so I'm no math major, but 5-7 points in about 2 minutes. He just does that. He finds ways to put the ball on the rim. Cassius, toughness, that's what I think about Cassius, a toughness about him. Winner, he's won a ton. LA's won, you know, that's those guys, a lot of guys in our program have won.
Jamal.
I think our fans will love him. I mean, I think you guys have been around. Maybe your brother Matt came by practice the other day. That seems to be like the guy that they kind of gravitate towards. He's undersized, but makes up for it with heart and grit and toughness and passion and fights people and go above the rim player, dunker, face up, can shoot the three, can score from all three levels. The sucker's just won everywhere he's gone, from Nichols to JUCO with Coach Jenkins to Nichols State. They just loved him at Nichols. He just wanted the opportunity to play at a higher level. You know, people say, well, he's too small, he can't finish that around the rim. I'll take a one-on-one matchup all day with Book. We're going to put him in one-on-one matchups, and teams are going to have to bring the double. But what I love about Jamal, his nickname's Boog, by the way, what I love about Boog is when two guys come on him, he's a great passer. You know, he finds the open teammate. He's unselfish. He just wants to win. Think about this, man. I don't know how old Boog is. He might be 32 years old, man. He's been in college basketball now for 5 or 6 years, but he never complained. If you know anything about college basketball, summers aren't fun, right? They're the grind days. They're waiting, conditioning. You're putting stuff together. It's no fun. There's not a game for 5 months away, right? He never complained one time. You know, if I was his age and gone through what he had, I'd be like, coach, man, like, give me a day off or come home. You know, he never complained. This is who he is. He's our alpha dog. He runs our locker room. He's both feet in. He's sold on me. He's sold on our team. He's sold on UTEP. He's the happiest. He came in at Nichols. No knock on Nichols, but he played in front of 350. He's so happy for November 3rd to get here with some energy, you know, and to play here. And but I think our fans, yes, Steve, I think they'll love you.
Last thing I want to mention about the guys you reeled off, Kasim Watson had a 30-point game and was third-team All-MEAC, and yeah. That guy could be a significant contributor for you guys, a pretty tall, lengthy combo.
Yeah, I love Kasim, man. I think Kasim's best basketball is in front of him, right? And he's got a huge ceiling, you know, and again, what we're trying to get him to do defensively is different than what he's done before. Kasim's light, too. He only weighs about 200 pounds. We've put 10 pounds on him in the summer. I wish we could have put 15 or 20 pounds on him. He's going to need that as he continues to grow in his development, is just putting on weight, but he's so skilled, right? So if they guard him with bigger guys, we can put him out on the perimeter and he can get past them off the bounce. If you guard him with smaller guys, you can put him on the block, right? So he's just versatile. We have a lot of different pieces like that, not just Kasim, right, that we can kind of mix and match. So it'll be interesting offensively how we put this thing together, right? But he's a guy that we're going to have to get the ball to in certain spots because he's a mismatch, whether we play him as a guard spot or whether we play him as a big, right? We can kind of mix and match with him. He's been hurt, so he missed 3 weeks of fall camp, which kind of put him back a little bit. But he was back last week, got to play in the scrimmage, and I think each day he's just getting better and better and better, right? And so I love Coach Kasim. He's an energy giver. He wants to be coached. And to your point, he can really, really, really score the basketball. We need him to rebound, to Steve's point, man. He had 6 rebounds in the scrimmage. You know, we need him. He needs to be a guy that if he's going to play the kind of minutes that we think Kasim's going to play, that rebounds the basketball and does all the little things, too, besides scoring the basketball. I also think this is the most talent that Kasim has ever played with. So he's also learning that he doesn't have to take some bad shots or he doesn't have to take as many, you know, the volume of shots. He can turn those down and he can create offense for his teammates, right? Which he's getting better at.
Let's talk schedule for a second. Yeah. 20 conference games, yeah. Which automatically puts a premium on your non-conference schedule. Yeah. Schedule gets released. Longtime basketball fans, especially season ticket holders, were upset. I've heard the worst home schedule ever because of the lack of games and who's coming in. Yeah. Let's touch on this because a lot of fans don't know what goes into scheduling and right now the current challenges that you're having to try and make the schedule, especially the home schedule, what minor fans want.
Yeah, the home schedule is always going to be tough now, right, moving into the new era of college basketball. And so in the simplest of terms, Steve, you know, you've got your quad ones, twos, threes, and fours. It's about separated by every 75 teams in the country. And, you know, quad one teams, they're only going to play quad one and quad four. Bottom line, they're not, you know, every once in a while you'll see some outliers, like we talked a little bit before we got on this. There'll be some outliers every once in a while. But for the most part, it's quad ones are playing themselves. And most of the time when they play themselves, they're in exempt tournaments, whether that's Maui, Battle of Atlantis, the deal in Vegas, or it's neutral floors. It's things you see at Madison Square Garden or Dickies Arena in Fort Worth. And then you have the rest of us stuck in quad twos and quad threes. And how do you navigate that and how do you figure it out? Yeah, we could probably go play some more home and homes, but you know, it's hard to get home and homes. Number one, some teams don't want to come play UTEP in El Paso. They just don't want to do it, right? We tried Miami of Ohio, for instance. We tried hard. They're picked to win the MAC right up there, man. We told them, man, we're starting here in El Paso. Let's go. We had conversations for 3 days. And then the next thing you go, no, we don't want to come to El Paso. We'll play you in a neutral quarter. It's just not as easy as you think getting those games. And then the other flip side of that, you don't want to play just 10 road games, right? And your team's traveling all November or December like a SWAC school. You have to have some home games, which are where the nons obviously come in. I wish we could get better teams. You know, Jason Hooten and I have talked a lot over the last summer. Their schedule is the same as ours. It's just guys don't want to come to Las Cruces. They don't want to come to El Paso. And then when you put the 20 games on it, you know, it obviously takes two away, right? We weren't able to get the big quad one, the Louisville that we've had in the past, the Texas. Utah State is our bye game, and they're paying us really, really well to go play that game. And that game could still be a quad one. Now, it doesn't have the name, maybe, net recognition. But when you look at our schedule, Steve, I still think from a basketball coach's standpoint, it's a really good schedule. You know, you're going to play UAB and William & Mary in the exempt tournament. Our fans know about UAB. They got a chance to win the American every year. They played in the championship game last year. I think Andy Kennedy is as good as coach anybody in the country. You've got our Sun Bowl tournament here, which all three teams are really, really good. The Sun Bowl committee has done a tremendous job consistently year in and year out of bringing really good teams to that. So that gives us two opportunities to play two really good teams. We're going to Seattle, who's a West Coast Conference team this year. They're not in the WAC. They're in the West Coast Conference. They're picked fifth in the West Coast Conference this year. We're going out to Seattle. We got Loyola Marymount here at our place, which is a West Coast Conference team return game from 2 years ago where they kicked our butt. And it's a great opportunity for us to return the favor in that game. Who am I missing? Am I missing anybody?
No, I
think that's it. Besides the non, so but yeah, when you look, when you take the non, the problem is we don't have them at home. You know, and we got Hawaii. Yeah. Hawaii, great for us. They're coming in our league. We get to go take that trip, so it makes us better next year when it's the real trip. Hawaii is taking care of us on that trip. They're basically paying for our trip. We're not coming out of pocket. Some people think, God, they're spending a ton of money. They're going to Hawaii. We're literally paying for three hotel rooms. Hawaii's paying for our trip because it's so hard for them to get games at Hawaii, right? So they're basically – so what a great opportunity for us to play against somebody that's going to come in our league, and we can kind of see where they're at, and then it will make that trip next year better when we go up there. So I think it's a really – competitive, really good non-conference schedule. The thing that sucks about it, and I know it does, is the home games, right? When you look at it, we just have Loyola Marymount at home. We have our three nons at home, and you have a Sun Bowl, you know, which you know, and I get that from a fan's perspective. And if there was something we could do different right now, Steve, we would. I mean, it's not like we didn't try. You know, we're trying. I think moving to the Mountain West, you know, is going to change that. We'll obviously be at 18 home games. 18 league games, which gives us the opportunity to get some more. And then the Mountain West makes you do some stuff that's going to allow us, I think, to get some different home games, right? And to buy some home games. So that's something the Mountain West has been really good. And, you know, we've been in discussions with the Mountain West and with the basketball people to what scheduling looks like. So hopefully with the move to the Mountain West, we have some opportunities to make our home schedule a little bit better. But I understand the complaint. If there's something we could do, it's not out of lack of effort, if that makes sense. You know, we're trying. It's just the times that we're in right now in college basketball. And I mentioned this off the record, but the Illinois State coach went off on a tangent after the scrimmage on Illinois for a three-minute tangent on schedule. Where all of us at this level are fighting the same thing, which is why we're fighting for the NCAA tournament, because these Power Fours now are controlling all the bids because they're controlling the net. They control the narrative of the net. It's hard for us to get our net better. We need to go play quad ones. We would love to play more quad ones. But they're not going to play us because they don't want our nets better, you know. So it's just a constant discussion right now in college basketball. It's just where we're at right now for scheduling.
Last dance of Conference USA. How do you see this league?
You know what's funny? When we talked about the preseason poll, I started dying laughing. I mean, Colin brought it in. I was like, put Liberty 1, Kennesaw 2, and then throw everybody else in a hat and pick them. That's our league. I mean, I think Liberty deserves to be the favorite. They return a lot, and they won it last year. I've always said that, you know. And so I think they are there, and Kennesaw is right there. You know, they return a lot. They obviously lost a really good player in Woodley, who's at Louisville now. But they return the good four-man, the good guard, and a couple good wing pieces. They got a lot coming back. And then you look at everybody else. And I don't know about Delaware and Missouri State. I have not studied them. So I don't know those two. But when you look at the other guys, Everybody else is brand new in our league. Everybody, you know, has got new guys. So I think November, December is going to be very important for all of us in our league because we're all dealing with new rosters and how it navigates. And then I think when we get in conference play, it's going to be really, really interesting, right, to see who can get their teams playing together quicker over these last 2 months as we head into conference play. And then conference play, they didn't do us any favors, right? Like, they didn't make it easy on they stuck it to us. And I don't care. I can say it now. They can't find us, I guess, right? We're leaving. Hell, they didn't even invite us to the meetings. The meeting, yeah, anything. Yeah. So, you know, they didn't make it easy on us early, and so we're going to have to be ready to play, you know, right off the bat. We got 3 road games to start. So I see it as wide open, though. You know, you take Liberty and Kennesaw, I think those teams, you would say, okay, those teams will be in the mix in March with what they have back. And then who knows, right? You got the rest of us. It will be really interesting to see how it plays out. This was an interesting stat, too. I know you guys are stats guys. I don't know exactly. Coach Mudge told me this at Sam, but I think the year before we brought back, let's say, 22 of the top 30 returning scores in our league. This year we returned like 3 of the top 30. So it's going to be a wide open league. You know what I mean? Like I think it's just wide open. New players, new teams, new rosters. Last year there was so much. We returned everybody. La Tech returned everybody. Sam returned. Western returned. Liberty returned. You get my point. This year I just think it's more wide open.
Based on how last season you talked about 15-5 and then things went downhill from there, yep. Do you see this season almost as the kind of year where you're trying to win your fans back? Not your diehards, your core nucleus, but everybody else realizing that, hey, you know what? We need to get these fans back because you know how big of an advantage that is when everybody in this whole town is on board.
Yeah, and I think that's the great thing about UTEP fans, right? I think when you're winning, they come back, right? Like, I think that's the key to all this. I think we'll sell this thing out again. I really do. I think we're going to sell this thing out multiple times. I've always thought that. You know, I thought the New Mexico State, I mean, obviously didn't go like we wanted it to. It's kind of like I was watching the Mavericks Spurs game last night. I don't know if you guys are watching, but it probably didn't go like the Mavs wanted to go, losing 30, right? Like, some nights it doesn't, but we're going to get it back, right? It shows that we can do it, right? And it shows that our fans care. And if we win games, our fans are going to come out and support us, right? If we don't win games, our fans aren't going to come out, right? That's just how fans are here in El Paso, right? They're going to give you a chance early. I think our fans will come out early. They're going to support us. And if we put a good product on the floor and we win games, they'll continue to support, right? If they come out early and we're not putting a good product on the floor and we're not winning games, they're going to disappear on us, you know? And so, but I understand that, right? That's part of the job here. And that's the passion of our fans. But we have the best fans in the conference. There's no questions, hands down. I'm not just saying that as coach speak. I mean, we've led the conference in attendance. When that thing is rocking and that thing's going, there's no better place to play. And we need to be better at home. We need to win at home, and the fans are a big part of that, right? So we need our fans, right? And we need our fans to get behind us, and our fans, they're diehards, right? They've been through a lot, and that's what I love about this city and our fans. And our team will learn that. They don't understand that. We got a new team. They'll understand the passionate base that our fans has. But I damn sure understand it. And like Adrian said earlier in this deal, there's nobody that wants this program back to the top more than me. And we're working hard every day to get it there.
You're a third generation coach. Your grandfather was a coach at Wichita High School, won 4 state titles. We don't talk about this enough, but your dad was also a coach who initially got into in business and then switched over and became a coach. How much does that fuel you? Because they all went through adversity too.
Yeah, no question. I think we're all better when we go through adversity, right? When you're comfortable, man, in this business, you get in trouble, right? You can't get comfortable. And you got to keep an edge and you got to keep a chip. And I think I've always had that chip, right? I was a D2 basketball player. I wasn't a Division I basketball player. I had to go a different route to be a coach in this deal. I got the first job was at ACU. It was one of the worst D2 programs in the country. Was one of the worst D1 programs that we built it to. Kind of getting UTEP here when it was a time when it was stagnant and dead and trying to get UTEP basketball back. You know, it's always been kind of my story, right? And it's kind of been my family's story, to be honest with you. And so it's good to have a support base. I never really knew my grandfather. He passed away when I was really young, but we got to move back to Wichita Falls when I was a junior, so I got to hear and learn all the stories. And obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame. The stadium's named after him, or the field's named after him, which is really cool. Having my dad around has been a great resource. My brother-in-law is the head football coach at TCU, so he's a great resource for me to talk to when times get tough, because you want to keep your circle, you know, as tight as you can when you're handling adversity and different things are happening. But that's the great thing about this business is you can turn the page, right? You can turn the page right away and get back to it and win, and things starts moving forward, right? We have a great opportunity in front of us this year. We got 10 new guys. We got four guys back that I love that chose to came back here. We've had a great summer. We're kind of underneath the shadow. Nobody's talking about us a lot. Last year it was all over the, you know, the media and stuff, and we this year it's completely different, and this fits me a lot better, right? Under the radar, chip on our shoulder, let's get to work, right? And let's get to work, and let's play some good basketball. Let's get back to winning games here at UTEP. Let's pack the Dawn. Let's get the excitement back in the city, and let's get some momentum going into the Mountain West, right? Well, wouldn't it be great to get some momentum in Conference USA as we get ready to make the move?
Last one for me, Coach. Yep. Thanks for all the time. I appreciate it. It is 60 years in 2026 for the 1966 National Championship team, also under the radar, hasn't been talked about a lot as well, but you honor a lot of the traditions and history that are here in El Paso at UTEP, and I think that'll be a really cool thing for fans to experience.
Yeah, I know we're working on something but behind the scenes. I think you'll see some stuff come out about it as we start moving towards middle part, you know, in end of the season, but you guys know the story better than me. I obviously learned it. I read the books, guys like Russ Bradford keep me educated on it all the time. John Teicher, you two guys. It's great to see Antonio Davis come back. You know, it's Omar Thomas is around. Jason Williams is around. Tim Hardaway came to our function this time this year, spoke to our team. You know, to see Tim Hardaway sending me pictures now with UTEP gear. Antonio was at his event with UTEP gear. And then obviously they didn't play on the 66 team, but the 66 team changed the game of basketball, right? Like, it's a story that obviously is told by Glory Road, but it changed the game of basketball. It changed Coach Haskins' career. It changed this university's career. It changed a lot of things about this city. I'm sure all the stories that you guys know and share, and some are true, and the older we all get, the better the stories probably get, because there's nobody there to validate them anymore. But it's an unbelievable story. It's us and Baylor. That's it, right? In the state of Texas that have won a national championship. We can hang our hat on that. We can go in any gym and talk about that. And I know it was a long time ago, but I don't give a damn, right? Like, there's only two of us that have a national championship banner in the state of Texas. And that's a prideful thing, right? That we can stamp our hat on and be proudful. And so thank God for those guys that played on that team and Coach Haskins and what he's meant to those players' lives and what he's meant to the city and to this university.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks for all the time.
You guys got it, man. Appreciate it.